Appreciate y'all being here this morning. Looks like it's going to be a pretty day. And it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And so if you got your Bibles, turn over to the book of 1 John. We'll continue there. Lord willing. You know, I was thinking this morning as my prayer is always, you know, when I'm getting ready to stand here and as we get closer to Sunday morning, I always find myself, you know, getting real nervous and all those things. But you know, as I was praying, I asked the Lord. I said, you know, the Lord always seems to be gracious and He allows me to stand. And what I mean by that is He gives me breath and He gives me a voice.
Right.
And so in a sense, you know, the Bible says that He never leave us nor forsake us. And so every time I stand up here, I realize that it's God allowing that.
Yes, sir.
And in spite of whether I feel His help or not, I understand that I can't even, I mean, Dad sings that song. I mean, I can't even walk without You holding my hand, Lord. I can't even breathe without Him. My heart won't beat without Him. And so in spite of the way that I feel when I get up here, I understand that by allowing me to stand here, He's given me some help. He's given me grace. But I really don't want it to end there. I want unction from God. I want His Spirit to literally fill me up and control everything that I say. And so that's my prayer always is, Lord, I don't want You to just allow me, but Lord, I just want You to speak through me.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the desire that we have every time I get up here. And I hope that you pray that for me and that you pray that for Kevin and that you pray that for all the preachers and the Sunday school teachers is because God's always gracious, seems like, to us. And it's a privilege to even just to get to stand here and say anything. And so God's good just in that. But it's real good when He really helps and when He moves. And
and
it's more than just words and it's more than just a time of gathering, but when God meets with us. And that's the desire that I have. And I hope that's the desire that you come here with this morning. And I heard a message on joy last night, and we was over at singing at Crossville, and I just want to be joyful this morning. And I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for it. So if you got your Bibles, open back up to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll get started. I want to read these same three verses. I'm going to try to wrap up this little thought on the deprivation of man, this man in his natural state, as we've been seeing over these past few weeks. But in John or 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Verse 13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." And so we've been looking at these verses the last few weeks, and the first thing we looked at was the message that was from the beginning, how we ought to love one another. And John, just over and over as he's writing his epistle and the things that he records over there in the Gospel of John, is we're constantly reminded to love. And that ought to just, if there's any trait in the life of the believer that should stand out, it ought to be our love. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, what is the first in that list? Love, right?
Yep.
And I may share a few of the things that I heard last night that was so good. Was he was likening us, the preacher was likening us to a tree, and he said, "I understand that the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, but it's interesting that he lays it out the way he does and gives us nine different individual things that we all ought to have." And he said, every one of us ought to be a tree loaded with fruit.
Right.
And he said, what I mean by that is when somebody comes to us and they're looking for love or they're looking for joy, we ought to have some of that fruit on us so that when they come by that it's easy and it's ripe for the picking. And they ought not have to go very far, Kevin, to find love, joy, peace.
Thank God.
I mean, there's nine of them.
Right.
And that ought to be the fruit of every one of us. And it ought to be easily accessible.
Yep.
You remember, and then he mentioned that tree over there, that fig tree that bore no fruit. All it was a bunch of leaves.
Right.
And man, he was preaching hard last night. And he said, how many of us here are just barren trees? All we've got's leaves. Golly. What do we need, folks? But we, everyone, need to have love.
Right
here. And man, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another, as we've looked at. So we need to love. Let's move on. So there's the message from the beginning. And then we've been looking there at Cain and that story of Cain and Abel, and we've seen the motive of the begrudge and how that verse number 12 asks that question. It says, and wherefore slew he him? In other words, why? Why did he do what he did? And he answers that question.
Yep.
Right? It says, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Brother Cliff, what was happening was by Abel being obedient, he shined a light on Cain that Cain didn't want exposed.
Right.
There were some things there that Cain didn't want exposed. And so that's what happened. And nobody likes being exposed when they're trying to live in the dark. When they try to live in the shadows and hide and blend in and all those things, when the light shines on those, it's uncomfortable. And a lot of people don't like to conform to what God says. And that's why Cain was mad. The Bible said that he was wroth over there in Genesis chapter 4. And so we see his motive. But then in verse number 13, we have a marvel not for the brethren. He says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And that's where we're going to pick back up today. Marvel not, brethren. And that word marvel, if you look it up, it's used several times in our Bible. It means to wonder, to pause, to gaze at something. In other words, what he was telling the people here that read this, his readers, Joe, he was saying, don't be surprised, don't be shocked. It's just going to happen.
Right.
They're going to hate you. Cain hated Abel. Guess what? If you act like a Christian in the world that we are today, guess what the world's going to do?
Yes.
It's going to hate you.
Absolutely.
And don't marvel. In other words, don't stand back and be amazed that you're not liked by everybody. If you're trying to be like Christ,
right, brother,
you are not going to be. And one of the best times in the life of a Christian that I know of, it's very freeing when you get to a point, and me and Kevin talk about this sometimes, is that you get to a point in your life where you just understand that if you're going to draw a line in the sand and you're going to go after God,
yep,
that you're just going to chap some people.
Yep. That's right.
And they're just not going to like you, Miss Sheila. There's just going to be some that won't like you. And Matt, it's not that I have a desire in my heart. I want everybody to like me. Right? Our natural flesh, we desire acceptance. We desire that reassurance from others that we're loved. We want to be loved. But I've found in my time that if you stand on anything, and it don't even have to be much.
Right.
I hurt a guy's feelings real bad one day over me just saying that I didn't like the Bible he used.
Go ahead.
That's all it took. And I heard him, he was talking to somebody about it just the other day. How that him, all I told him was I didn't approve of the Bible he was using. And I told him why.
Sure.
And I was nice about it. But Brother Rick, it just, Boy, it done something to him. And ever since, he ain't liked it. And he ain't like me. He used to send me scripture verses, Nathaniel.
Yep.
And he got, Brother Kristen, I mentioned this before. I didn't realize it had bothered him this bad till the other day. But he used to send me scripture verses, and he came to me one time, Kristen. He said, he walked in my office at work. He said, I don't understand something. I said, okay, what do you not understand? I'd never said nothing to him, never. But he knew, he could, for whatever reason, he knew that there was something wrong. And he come in, he said, I don't understand why you never respond to my scripture verses. And I said, yeah, you really want to know?
Right.
I said, do you really want to know? And so I proceeded to tell him. I said, he was using the ESV. And amongst other things, probably. But I told him. I said, I believe in the King James Bible.
Sure.
Worked for me.
Right.
God said he'd preserve his words. If this is his words preserved, and then you've got another one beside it, and it don't say the same thing. Only one of them can be preserved. That's real simple. Now, we could go back and look at the origins and the manuscripts, but to me, that's as simple as I know how to put it. On an easy level. If I've got two English versions.
Right.
And they're different. They're things that, Kevin says it right. He says things that are different are not the same. And so you have to pick one or the other. And if you believe the book of Psalms and that God said he would preserve it, then you have to take a side. I don't know a way around that. That's real simple. And so in this church, and I hope in your home, that you use a King James Bible. That's what we use. And that's why we use it. And I'm not saying that somebody can't hear something from one of the other ones and get saved, just like somebody could hear your testimony. Yep. About Christ.
Go ahead.
And get saved. The gospel can be found there.
Yeah.
Don't look at somebody and judge them. This is not part of the lesson.
Go ahead.
But don't look at somebody and judge them because they've been raised to use a different Bible.
What?
And think they're not Christians.
That's it.
There's many Christians that are better Christians that use other Bibles.
That's right.
Than a lot of King James Bible using
sure.
Christians. And it's just because they don't know no better. But if you'll help them and you'll love on them and teach them why and don't be mean to them, you never know what might happen.
That's right.
So I nicely told this guy, and man, he was sharing it with somebody the other day, how that he didn't share them scriptures with me no more because I didn't like his Bible and I didn't approve of it. And I'm okay with that. And the people that mentioned this to me, I explained to them. I got to explain to them why.
Amen.
And God used it. And what was bad to him,
thank God,
it may have helped somebody else. See, he thought he was going to share that with somebody and make them think bad of me. But instead, they thought enough of me to tell me about it. And I just got to explain to them why. And you know what? Them people wasn't a bit mad at me over it. And it may help them. But anyway, so I don't even know where I was at. But don't marvel, don't be shocked if the world hate you. If you exemplify Christ, your actions condemn those around you. That's what happened. Just like we said last week, Noah built an ark. He prepared it to the saving of his house, the Bible says. And by the which he did what? He condemned the world. It wasn't that Noah was out, I don't think Noah was out preaching that everybody had to die in the flood. But I'd say he probably let them know that God told him the flood was coming.
Yep.
And that door was open.
Yep.
And it was open for the animals. They just walked in. So, anyway, but we're shining light on things, in people's lives that they want to keep in the dark. And so you cannot be a Christian and carry the light and be the light without shining on somebody.
Sure.
And we are to reflect the light of Christ. And in by doing so, you will hurt people's feelings at times.
Absolutely.
We don't go about, that's not our goal. We don't go and take our Bibles and hit people over the heads with them. You can do things in the wrong attitude.
No doubt.
But when you do it with love, which is what this is talking about, folks, love makes all the difference. It just makes all the difference. And, you know, this world, what they do, just as Cain did, they try to dress things up, and they try to make things look pretty, and they want, you go on Facebook, or you see somebody out at the grocery store, or wherever, I mean, everybody wants you to think the best and to know the best, and they make their life look the best, and they don't want you to know their problems. And we're all that way to a degree.
Sure.
But when you start exposing things in the light, man, it really affects people. But I got to thinking about this, about how that Cain hated his brother enough to kill him. But, you know, the Bible doesn't record any words that Abel ever said, as far as I know. Nothing. We just know his actions, what he did. And all he did was try to honor the Lord.
Right.
But I imagine, you know, from what I read in the Scripture, and I think I said a little bit of this last week, I just, when I read that story, I imagine these two brothers going out on their own and bringing their offerings, and they probably both brought them to one place, and they went to present them to the Lord. And I can just see this in my mind, how that Cain, he probably had a wagon load. And he probably, I don't know how you all envision this.
Yeah,
but this is how I envision this in my mind.
Yep.
He had the biggest wagon load of fruits, vegetables, herbs. I'll tell you what I think they look like, Jesse. You ever seen on TV or on an advertisement, one of them edible arrangements? That's how I envision Cain's offering looked. I believe it looked gorgeous.
Me too.
I think you and I can't even imagine what kind of offering probably Cain brought.
Right.
Because I know that in his heart he was proud of it.
Right.
He was proud, Brother Rick, of what he had brought to the Lord. And he thought, man, if anything will ever please the Lord, this will do it.
That's right.
I know he said he wanted a lamb, but I'm going to bring him something better.
Yep. What he thought.
That was what was going on in his mind. But then I think about Abel, and we don't know the mind of Abel other than he wanted to please the Lord. But Abel's probably over here off to the side, and he's got this thing. You ever seen a lamb? I live by them. See them all the time. They're tiny. I mean, just tiny. And Abel's got that thing in his hands. And he's carrying that thing probably.
Yep.
And here he looks over here and he sees Cain coming. Cain's got this big old wagon load. Boy, it looks beautiful. And I mean, I just, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
He's got this in his hand, and he's looking down and thinking, God, this is what you said.
Yeah.
That looks good.
Right.
But Lord, you said this. And Lord, I'm just going to do my best to trust
that this is what you want.
And I couldn't help but think about that song, Rock of Ages. This is in my hands. No price I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. And you see, that's all Abel didn't understand everything. But he understood enough to know that God had said he wanted a lamb.
Yes.
And so what he chose to do was honor God with the lamb that he had. And you know, he looked down at his offering and thought, Lord, I didn't do anything for this.
God, I didn't birth this thing. I can't even feed this thing.
Right.
God, you created the mom that feeds this thing. All I do is stand back and make sure no wolves or whatever can get to it. And Lord, you take care of all of it. You provided the lamb.
Hey, thank God.
And you just trusted in what God provided.
Yeah.
And you see, it's no different today, but the world, what they want to do is they want to trust in what they provide. They want to bring the most beautiful, they dress it up, they might turn over every leaf between here and California and make everything look perfect. But until it is what God demands, which is the blood of the Lamb, it will never work, and it's all for naught. And if we could ever, as Christians today, get our minds around all God wants is the Lamb. Folks, He does not want to see you, and He does not want to see me. It is His Son in whom He is well pleased. And so when we come into His house and all we do is not lift up ourselves, we don't come for ourselves, but we have this Lamb, and what our desire is to lift up the Lamb and say, God, all we've got to offer is a Lamb. And it's not of ourselves, Jesse, it's His Lamb. And man, I know He's pleased with that. And so you come in here today and you wonder why God's not happy with you. Maybe you're presenting Him the wrong thing. You ever think about that? When you start trying to present your work, earn favor with God, it will never work. And it creates a life of misery and bondage. But when you live your life completely understanding that God just wants the Lamb. Matthew, we can get somewhere with God then.
Oh, yeah.
You see, because what that requires in every life in here is when we try not to offer ourselves and our works. Now, I understand we are supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. But what? And that's just your reasonable service, by the way. But that lamb requires you to humble yourself.
That's right.
What you're doing is offering something that is a whole lot, in our minds, a whole lot lower than what we are. And it's easy for us to think what we've got's better. Got better things to offer. But there'll never be nothing better than the Lamb.
That's it.
God always required the Lamb.
Yep.
He started it here. Actually started it when He made them coats of skins.
Yes.
From the first sin, it took a lamb. You'll not convince me that was not a lamb.
Right.
But from there till the end of the book, guess what still is required?
Hey.
Still requires the Lamb. And I don't know. That may bother some people. It bothered Cain. It bothered Cain when he looked over and all Abel had was a lamb. You look at that from both perspectives. Because Abel come looking at what Cain had to offer. And I'm sure that was real humbling for him to realize all I've got's a lamb. But then Cain, on the other hand, he's coming. And I imagine the whole time he's wheeling that load up there, his heart's puffing up, his mind, his pride, as he looks over there and sees that all Abel has, just a lamb. Do you think Cain got what he expected that day?
No, sir.
Not at all. He got a big surprise, and it scarred him for life because of his response. God handled it real well. God said, all you got to do is provide the lamb. Just do what I ask.
Right.
That's all.
gave him a chance to repent, Rodney. He could have went back and said, I'll fix this. I'll throw my junk away, and I'll go get a lamb. He chose not to do it. But nothing else will do besides the lamb. And it still takes the lamb to pay for the sins of all humanity today. And we know the lamb. John pointed him out, didn't he? He said, behold the lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the world sees us. You know what they still do today? They look at a bunch of us independent Baptists. Not just independent Baptists, but you know what I mean. Anybody that all we have is a lamb. We don't have the robes. We don't have a bunch of sacraments. All these things that we have to do, they call them maybe means of grace.
Right.
You can't earn grace. It's not grace if you earn it.
Right.
That don't even make sense.
Nope.
But Noah just found it. That's what the Bible said. Noah just found grace. One day he stumbled upon it and thought, oh, there's some grace. I believe I'll just take that. Grace is just grace. It's unmerited.
Yep.
We don't earn it. It's not grace if you earn it. If you work for it, if you have to do anything to get it, then grace is no more grace. That's what Paul said. But all we've got's a lamb, and he's still good enough today.
Amen.
Now I'm thankful for it. God's still pleased with the lamb. And here's the thing. He said, marvel not that the world hate you. See, it's not so much that they hate you or they hate me, but the world still hates the lamb.
That's right. That's it, brother.
And that's just the rub. They don't want to humble their hearts and understand that God prefers the lamb. It's the truth.
That's right.
Giving you or giving a lamb, the lamb, he's always going to choose the lamb.
Oh, yes.
So you better just bring him a lamb. And that lamb was provided on Calvary for you and I. I'm thankful for the lamb, aren't you? So we'll move on here. Verse number 14 through 16. So the last part of this chapter. So the first part, we looked at our designation, how that we were the sons of God. In the second part, verse 3 through 10, we looked at our distinction, how that God differentiates between the sinners and the saints and those two lives, and how there ought to be such a difference. And now, obviously, we've looked at the deprivation here of man in the life of Cain. But this last section here, what we find is some definitives, some things that we can know for sure, some things that give us certainty, some things we can be certain of. And so the first thing, what we find here in verse 14 through 16, are our perception. Look at verse number 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought, to lay down our lives for the brethren. So that word, right off the bat there, he says we know in verse 14. That word know, if you look that up in Webster 1828, it means to perceive with certainty. So you understand how knowledge works. You see, you have a perception. That perception comes in. I'll read you the definition. I've got that wrote down over here too. So the word to perceive means to have knowledge or receive impressions of external objects through the medium of instrumentality of the senses or bodily organs. So how we perceive is through our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, through our taste, and through our hands, right? We have five senses. physical senses. And then we've got a spiritual sense on the inside as well. But that's what he's talking about. So here we perceive. So to know means that you perceive it with certainty. You ever perceive something but not been certain about it? So you gather some information, but Kevin, you've not reached that certain point yet.
Sure.
See, there's times that you get the wrong perception. Mm-hmm. You ever done that? Maybe thought that somebody loved you for a little while, and then you realize, man, I perceived wrong. They do not love me, or vice versa. Vice versa, right? That can be on the other side of that. There's times that I've met people, and that first impression was like, man, they hate my guts.
Yep.
That didn't go like I had planned. I mean, I'll use us for an example. You know, we go sing sometimes or whatever, and according to how the church responds, you know how that is, how you are. You look at it, it could be a preacher goes and preaches, and sometimes you perceive that they don't like you, or they didn't enjoy that, or whatever. I'm just trying to give you some pictures of what I'm talking about. We perceive those things, but then the next thing you know, they're calling and ask you to come back. And you, man, you just can't imagine how much we love that, or how much of a blessing that was, or whatever. I'm thankful for those, because I don't like walking out of somewhere and think, man, they hated that. And then, that being the case, you don't really want that. But that's true sometimes. You've probably preached in a church you've never been asked back to, ain't you? Did you get any perceptions out of it? Listen, that's just part of it. So that's part of being human, is that you perceive things all the time. And understand that our perception, even though we misuse it at times and misidentify things, here's you a good one. So, Jesse, if I could pick probably my favorite thing in all the world to eat, all right, I'm an ice cream lover. Don't be surprised, but I love it. So listen. I do. I love it. I just assume eat ice cream as anything. Some of you probably have got something else that you like. But, in perception, I perceive, man, this is so good, it must be good for me. I know this is funny, but just, you understand what I'm getting at. This is examples. All right, don't eat ice cream for supper, okay? Popcorn's okay. Me and Kevin eat popcorn for supper sometimes. I'm not trying to be real. I understand this is light, but I hope you understand that sometimes we perceive things and it just is not so. So there's a difference in what I'm getting at is there's a difference in a perception and a knowing. But everything you know has been perceived. So perception is this wide, broad thing. You can perceive all kinds of different things. But to know is to perceive with certainty. And so, although I can perceive that ice cream is good because it tastes good to me, what I know is because I get bigger and bigger when I eat it, that it's not good for me, right? Even though it tastes good, it's bad. This is simple explanations, but then on the other hand, I can perceive that if I'll take a salad and I put just a little bit of dressing on it to make it taste good, so it still tastes good, so I still get a good perception. I like it. I do like salad. I ate one last night. But then it don't add any weight when I eat that, right? So then I can know, perceive with certainty. That was good. And so there's some things that we can understand from Scripture that we can perceive. But when it says that what this Bible says is we can know them, that means that we perceive it, and the example given is the gospel. We can perceive the gospel, and I can see by the effects of it, Kevin, and know with certainty that it's good.
Oh, yes. Thank God.
So there's some things that we can know. And so here it says in verse number 14 that we know, so we perceive with certainty that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. How many of you all got saved, say, after you were 20 years old? How many in here? After you were 20. So a good number. Nathaniel, you testify of it all the time. How much love did you have for the brethren before you got saved? I love him, don't you? You ever want to know how Nathaniel feels about something? Just look at him. You don't even have to ask him. Just look at him. But if you ask him, you really know. He stood up here and he's testified about how he used to run, and he would hide from Brother Darwin and, you know, Denver and whoever else, you know, that wanted to tell him about Christ. He didn't love the brethren. You know what the brethren did for him? It made him uncomfortable. But I imagine for every one of you, see, some of us have a little bit different testimony. We were raised in it. But by and large, people that weren't, before they were saved, there was nothing good about being with the brethren. And especially if you put yourself in the shoes of this time period. If you loved the brethren then, that was a bad thing. You ever, when you're reading your Bible, understand their perspective on things? You know what it meant for you to love the brethren then? It might cost you your life. Now, you and I can love the brethren, and it's easy. Right? It don't cost us much.
Right.
So we ought to love them more. It don't cost us a thing. But he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So what he's saying here is that evidence that you have passed from death unto life, you understand that's a picture of salvation. That's what he's talking about, that you've came from death to life. You have he quickened, right, who were dead. Trespasses and sins. So it's made alive. So if you've passed from death unto life, you can know that. One way you can know that is because of the love that you now have in your heart for the brethren.
Yep.
And I imagine that everybody in here that's saved, guess what you now have? You have a love for the brethren. If you're saved and you're right with the Lord, this place is not dreadful to you.
Right.
These people don't bother you to be around. You know what I like? These people.
Yeah, me too.
You know who I want to be around?
Yep.
These people.
Me too.
Guess what? If I see Brother Kevin at the Walmart, I'm not going to turn the other way.
Right.
Even if he's got his back turned to me and doesn't see me, guess who I'm going to go get? I'm going to go grab him. Hey, brother, what are you doing here? I'm so glad to see you. What happens when in the life of somebody who gets born again, God puts something down on the inside. So you're added to a family. In the natural sense, I'm going to use, we've got a group back here, Barbara and Wilda. We don't have any more siblings here today. But John. You know, we had Wilford, there's 15, right? Siblings. They were put in a family, naturally. And you know what they have for one another, naturally? They just automatically have love for each other. It's part of it. There's natural affections. Now, Barbara, did you always like all your siblings? Do you still always like them? Oh, what? Essentially, what she's saying is, it's not always the same, but you always love them, right? You do. And I just use the words like and love, right? There's some I love my kids. There's times I don't like my kids. I mean, that's just the truth. Sometimes I want them to be in a different room for a little bit. And that's just part of it. But I'll tell you what, you mess with one of them and you'll find out if I love them or not. Real quick. Real quick. Right? And so just as it's natural for us to love our natural brethren, even though we might not always get along, we might not always see things eye to eye. My sister's here. I mean, we've disagreed on things over the years. But there's no question, I hope, in her mind that I love her. And there's no question in my mind that she loves me. That's just the way it is, Jesse. We've not always, I mean, especially when we was younger, we did not always like each other. But you're there for each other. And that's naturally. But now there may be somebody here that don't like your, that really don't like your brother. And there may be somebody here that because of something that's happened or because of some event in life that you don't even love them. They're natural brethren. But spiritually, it's different.
Oh, yes.
It's different when you're saved and God puts you in the family of God. Even the ones that you don't like, you still love them. And I can say in an honest heart that even though there's been some people that spiritually that I didn't like what they do, I didn't like the decisions they made, I didn't like maybe how they hurt me or how they hurt a friend or whatever, never once did I desire hurt for them
or want
anything bad to happen. I wanted the best. I loved them. And in fact, Jordan, I want them to get right. I want things fixed. I have a desire for them. And when you're saved, I don't know how God does it, but through His Spirit and what He does in the heart, He changes you drastically.
Yes.
And He puts a love for the brethren that cannot be explained. I'm in a different situation than some, but my sister and my family's here. But some of you know what I'm talking about. You love your church family as much or more than you love your natural family. There's a bond there that is different. And blood's blood, but it can only go so far, naturally speaking. But this spiritual bond, this unity that we have in the Spirit, there's something special about it.
Yes.
And God does a work, and He makes it real clear here in 1 John that we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. But here's what He says in the latter part of that. And if you have hatred toward a brother, you read the last part of this verse, it says, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." I know these kids are coming in, and that gets light because the kids come in. Everybody starts looking around. But I want everybody to hear the last part of that verse. Everybody listen real good. We'll let them come in just a minute. But don't miss this.
Right, brother.
Don't hear the first part of this verse
right. And
leave off the second part. Okay? I'm almost done. It says that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That sounds good, right? But Matt, the last part of that verse is a lot harder. It says, "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death."
That's right. True.
So you can know for sure you've passed from death unto life because of the love that you have for the brethren.
Yep.
But then the other side of that coin, same coin, yes, you can also know that if you don't love the brother, then you are abiding in death. And you say, well, that seems harsh. Maybe, but it's truth. It's just truth. And as we continue on in verse 15 and 16, we'll dive more into that. But we can know some things with certainty. And folks, I'm afraid we've got a lot of people that claim to be Christians today, but they have no love for the brethren.
Right.
They're not here, and they're not nowhere else today. And they don't want to be anywhere else because of hatred that's in their heart for,
yep,
for a brother.
You're right.
You want to know that one of the biggest things that I find when we talk to people that used to be in church that are not in church today? Why do you reckon that is? It ain't the building ever offended them. Right? And God's never, they can't say God ever did anything wrong. Right? He don't do wrong.
Right.
So if the building didn't offend them, and God didn't offend them, well, what are they offended at? Most of them would say they're offended at a brother.
Yep.
Something happened. And I'm going to say this today, before I get down. If you're here today, and somebody here has offended you, you ought to want to make it right.
Oh, yes.
But here's the thing. Even if you've been offended and you can no longer go here to this church for whatever reason, there are things and situations that are just hard to reconcile. Just the reality of it. But that should not negate the fact that you should have a love for the brethren. And if you can't go here, you should still have enough love for the brethren that you can go somewhere else. You don't just quit and go to the house.
Right.
It wasn't God that offended. Right. It might have been one brother, or it might not even been a real brother, right? People don't even think about that.
Right.
Matt, you talk to them and they're just like, somebody hurt me. They hurt me down there and I just can't go back. Okay,
yeah.
Why aren't you going somewhere else?
Right.
Why is that?
Good question.
As they say, we've heard it plenty of times, still see them at Walmart. There's a lot of people there. But anyway, I know I'm rambling a little bit right now, but just think about those things. If you pass from death unto life, you have a love for the brethren. But if you have no love for the brethren, the Bible's plain. You're still abiding in death.
That's right. Plain.
And I hope everybody here loves the people here. You ought to. We got some good people here. And it's because of the grace of God. All right, we'll have prayer for whoever wants to pray back down the hallway there. Appreciate everybody's good attention.